Bon Radio. Thanks to the generosity of listeners like you, not you, but like you, our fundraising campaign for the Bosnian relief effort has been a resounding success. We have raised enough money to send nearly 15,000 bottles of Diet Coke to the refugees in that tussle-ravaged land. As an added bonus, each recipient gets to keep and eventually redeem his or her bottle. So from all of us here at the Sesqui Studio, we say to our overseas, oft-trounced brethren and sistern with those multisyllabically unpronounceable names, take heart and have a Coke. It's as real a thing as you're likely to see for a while. This message has been brought to you by the same bottler that supplies Carlos and Damien's new music restaurant, now open for business and located adjacent the elegant lobby of the new Radiophonic Mall in the heart of downtown Plainfield. The mall, for those of you who haven't yet visited it, is the showpiece of Keystone Realty Corporation's Mid-Vermont Estates, a promising exercise in developmental and speculative cooperatives whose time in the Green Mountain State is come. And I understand the Board of Trustees is meeting with Keystone Realty at this very moment.
Yes, I think they are offering the entire campus for sale. Isn't that true? Can we buy little plots of it and put little, like, concession stands on it?
There's something above the radio studio, though, isn't there? Wouldn't that make it problematic?
No, just tear it down.
All right, makes sense.
Sure.
If you put off planning for the future, why not look into Keystone Realty's wide assortment of investment strategies? One is certain to be right for you. The K&D, meanwhile, also features a wide assortment, but of prefabricated and color-coordinated food items served on edible parchment menus. Come sample cottage industry cheeses from Nova Scotia. Dare the well-stocked Sesqui kitchens to run out of hibachi cleaner. Enjoy fancy paw work from classically trained dancing bears during entertainment hour every night from 7 to 7:45. And swelter in the refurbished Aztec Pomeroy Sweat Lodge as real Indians from Cleveland proficiently attend to your every needs. Luncheon prices are competitive and bartering is welcome, so stop by today. Pantry tours are available on a first-come, first-served basis. The K&D, Bon Jean Vert.
Wonderful. How come there ain't any in the studio for me to sample? I'll have some big glass of hibachi cleaner anytime.
How about that Jean Vert?
Jean Vert?
Yes.
You mean your neighbor?
Is that the American pronunciation?
I don't know. It depends on how it's spelled.
Jean.
As in?
J-A-U-N-E.
Oh, yes. Yellow glass?
Ver. V-E-R?
V-E-R. Hmm. Got me.
Little crawly thing on the ground that robins pick up after heavy rainstorms?
Oh, that. Oh, I see. I didn't understand. I see. Jean. Jean Vert. Oh, well, I like that. It gets more interesting as we... Please continue.
This portion of Calvos and Damien's new music Sesqui Hour, no longer referred to in radiophonic tabloids as soon as a quaver muscle in a dawn skid hums, due to a sudden yen for brevity, and harboring sesquintro words numbers 319 to number 424, contains no apocryphal announcements, misstatements of fact, or pejorative disclaimers other than the regret that, for the first time in 14 episodes, Le Flambeau Orange will not be mentioned, and if it is,
Le Flambeau Orange
will be done so in such a way as to minimize the phrase's impact on all but the most... Oh, never mind.
Le Flambeau Orange.
That's some kind of musical ruckus.
Wow, thing. Just a great ruckus. Oh, it's got quiet.
It is at this point in the program that allusions are frequently made to winning hands of Whiskers Six Straw or musical disease classifications or the calisthenically challenged pupils of Nadia Boulanger or even the arcane results of didactically elliptical reasoning, which would have produced the frivolous anagram... as civil as a burlesque aardvark to a gummy raccoon, more to a Jim Hatch movage, out of today's selected list of Che Guevara, Burl Ives, Yamagata Aritomo, Salvatore Quasimoto, and John McCormick. Yes, that's what often happens, but will not today, because... Oh, never mind. You were going to say...
That, no, you just left out my favorite.
Who?
Meredith Wilson.
Yeah, I
wanted to be able to sing 76 trombones along with this music.
You still can. I think it would counterpoint lovely.
Okay.
It works.
Yes, it does.
Are you still awake, Calvus?
Is it not, my turn?
Why not, then? If so, can you prove it?
I'm definitely not awake. It's not a day to be awake.
It's a day for what, slumber?
Yes, because we're playing part two of our flute episode today.
Is that a flute I heard underneath playing somewhere?
Yes, this is indeed a flute.
Someone's bowing a flute.
This is a long tune by Kaya Sarriaho. It's called A la Fumée.
Which means something about the yellow worm.
Yes, something about the yellow worm. This is for alto, flute, cello, and orchestra. And, gosh, let's just listen to the rest of it because...
We don't have anything else to play.
That was a very bewildering and confusing opening, and I have to go think about it some. I'll have to go chase some yellow worms, too.
Do.
Okay. Kaya Sarriaho, the conclusion of A la Fumée for alto, flute, cello, and symphony orchestra. And if you're not lucky, we'll be back later. Thank you. Music to keep you on edge.
I just hum that all day.
Yes. So there, that's introduced today's flute session. That's music by Kaya Sarajaho, A la Fumée, and that's with Petri Alanko on alto flute and Ansi Kartunen on cello. The Los Angeles Philharmonic, conducted by Esa-Pekka Salonen. A dandy piece.
Yeah, sometime we may play the full piece.
You mean and not talk over it?
No. We'll just play it without... We'll just play it.
From end to end?
Yes.
Like this time?
This counts.
Ah, good. She will. Kaya Sarajaho will be our guest this summer.
Are you sure? Has she acquiesced?
She has put her voice on tape.
She did at one point, but you haven't reviewed it recently, have you?
I have not listened to it, no. But I'm sure it's still there. I'm sure she didn't take it back in the meantime.
Now, it's not just flute day today.
There
are other items on the agenda.
Yes, there are. And I actually do have some celebratory material.
Do tell.
Well, first of all, because it's Dad's Day tomorrow,
yeah.
I brought a...
The Daddies of Invention?
No, not the Daddies of Invention. The closest I could find to a Dadaist composer...
I get it.
Dada is Marcel Duchamp. Now most people
the mime.
Yes, most people know him as an altist for his famous for nude descending a staircase. Well, he actually composed a piece with the same title, Nude Descending a Staircase. We'll hear that a little later.
Oh, what now then?
Right now, we will mourn the loss of Ella Fitzgerald, who died this morning at the age of 78.
This is the second time she died, is it not? Go back in time about 12 years. She was performing with, I think, Zubin Mehta, and she lost her place in one of the performances, and the reviews said that she...
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. No, this, I think, was physical death as opposed to artistic.
That's terrible. Then she probably can't do this again.
Right. Oh. But she will now.
All right.
And just kind of, well, we'll set the mood. I mean, we're going to
have... You already did with that lovely piece by the unknown Finnish composer.
Well, Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer tune, sung by Ella Fitzgerald.
The Banana Boat Song.
Pretty close. It has a B in it. Has a B in it.
Moon River.
Very good. It has the right time of day now.
Moon over Manhattan.
It could have been Manhattan. You were very close with the time of day.
Oh, moon indigo.
Very good, close to indigo, but not indigo. It's one of the other colors of the spectrum, but fairly near it.
Red sails in the sunset.
Oh no, that's not near indigo.
It is in my book.
Well, it's just...
I'm close, am I not?
You're close. I think we better play the tune because it's just not close enough. It's Ella Fitzgerald singing Blues in the Night.
That would have been my next guess.
I knew it.
Told me when I was in pigtails, my mama told me a man's gonna sweet talk and give you the big eye. But when the sweet talking's done, a man is a two-faced, a worrisome thing who'll leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, hear the train a calling. Mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blow across the trestle. Ooh-wee. My mama done told me, oh hooey da hooey, oh clickety clacks and echoing back the blues in a night. Trees to cry and the moon will hide its light. When you get the blues in the night, take my word, the song. He knows things are wrong, and he's right. From that the moon will
1960 recording, the voice of Ella Fitzgerald, who died this morning.
That's too bad.
Benny Carter on the alto sax. Blues in the Night by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer. That was with Billy May's orchestra. You're listening to the Calvos and Damien. Not quite so new music with that piece, but new music anyway. Sesquihour on WGDR Plainfield for
weren't
as
you,
long as either one of them exists. Yes?
Yeah, weren't you also thinking of bring a new name to the program one of these days?
Yes, I thought we would rename the program since we haven't been an hour and a half for about 9 months now, though I dearly love Sesquihour.
Sesquihour will wheedle its way into the show name somehow.
Somehow, but since we've been calling our website the Calvos and Damien New Music Bazaar, we might call ourselves the Bazaar.
Think about that.
Well, you think
yeah,
that.
All right.
And our listenoids can give us a call if they have an opinion on what we should call ourselves, that at least a name that we can air.
Yes.
The new music hour or whatever.
You're spelling bazaar.
With three A's.
Three. A-B-A-Z-A-R.
Abednego.
That works.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Bazaar.
All right. Let's play some more flute.
Oh, it's flute time. Let's go back to where we left off with our interview in Amsterdam with Anne LaBerge.
Now, this was not in the Café de Marc. We were not having any food or cheese.
No, we were definitely not having any food or cheese, though we did have, I believe, some toast the next morning.
And some sinal difficulties.
Definitely sinal difficulties.
At least one of us.
Yes, toast and sinal difficulties, and there was hammering the next morning. But we're now, I guess it's about 1 a.m. at the time we will pick up this interview.
Now, for our listeners who can't quite calculate that, this is Amsterdam Standard Time.
At the time, so it was, yes, Amsterdam Standard Time, which means it would have been early here.
You're speaking blue perfectly.
I'm speaking definitely perfectly. As I always do.
Right.
All right, let's just listen. We'll pick it up with the same tune we left off with last week. This is Rollin' for Flute, and then we'll roll right back into the interview. Rollin' for Flute by Anne LaBerge.
Up.
Roland by Anne Lemerge. You had mentioned earlier that you were working with one of your students to play one of your pieces and that you had considered playing it live. And I wondered if the lessons that you give your students tend towards composition or the type of composition that they might be able to investigate through improvisation, or if you just do technique.
I have such a gamut of abilities and levels and personalities in my student group that I can't answer that question with anything so specific. I have one student who is a composer-performer, and last week I asked him what he was going to do to change the history of the flute, which then he... It got him kind of riled up. But I have other students which I just say, how are you going to get your trills faster? It's very specific to the students' needs, and to also if they're in a degree program, if I'm teaching them in the conservatory, I can't really say, well, now that you can play Bach, shall we compose? That wouldn't really please the committee, trying to give them a diploma. So I give them as much as I can in all ways.
That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, God, since you brought up the question of students, let's turn to this concert of improvisation for 16 players. This is really sort of an exciting idea. You said something about exploring what players can do whatever amount of structure, maybe I don't have this exactly right, but he said something about what structure something has to have to make a piece. And we're about to listen to that. Maybe you can clarify or rephrase what I thought I heard you say there. What do you mean by that?
Well, some pieces are most engaging because of the stuff people hear right away, which I would call surface material.
Okay, yeah.
And some people can refer to that as style. The style, I think, goes a little deeper. Style would be whether or not you were in Gucci or Kmart. And surface material would be how great you wear that Kmart and that Gucci. Or, you know, how great you put on that jewelry on your Kmart bathing suit or whatever. So I can't say that they're one and the same, but once the piece has its material, once it has the stuff on the outside, what people will listen to right away, then there's what composers think a lot about, which for me I tend to use very intuitively, and that's structure. That's how the piece, in the amount of time that it's been set to have, what happens in that piece, if there's a climax or not, and how many and when and where, and the sort of things that we in our daily life go through anyway, but they like to make that, or, you know, those of us who structure pieces want to put somebody through something, probably themselves and the player.
Is that funny? I think that's funny.
I can't, yeah.
Put some people through something. I mean, suggest there's like a masochistic streak or sadistic streak among
No,
composers?
No, I don't mean that in a negative way.
Oh,
I mean,
all right.
I mean, if you look at painting, the person standing there looking at the painting is experiencing something.
Okay, the experience. I see what you mean. All right.
So you in time, my idea about going through that would mean that the piece goes over time, so you go through it with the piece.
Ah, okay.
And that's not at all negative. And what was really nice, what I learned a lot about working with these players, they're called the Rotterdam Improvisation Pool. And they asked me to come in and show them how I improvise. That was essentially how I interpreted the invitation. And I had 5 rehearsals and there'd be a concert. So I came with my CD and a couple of tapes, essentially what we're sort of doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my spiel about the conceptual basis and how I went through making these pieces, which, as we've been talking about, are largely based on certain aspects of improvisation. And then they just looked at me. And I thought, I bet they want pieces of paper, and I bet they want me to tell them what to do, which I didn't conceive of as being the initial task of working with this improvisation ensemble. So I came home, and I said to David, I think they want me to tell them what to do. And he said, well, people really like that, when you tell them what to do, which goes back to why would you compose anyway if you could play other people's music? So then I made four pieces based on how I think about different kinds of music. And I think in all the pieces, I'm very serious about not having too much climax. That if that occurs, that's up to the players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they create something that needs a climax. Otherwise, it's the energy and the conceptual basis of how they're going to interact. And how as a group, then, the interaction comes out as a whole. And as you mentioned with the what I would call the wall of sound, the cluster, so the vibrating oil in the pan, that's one form of interacting that is severely whole, because you can't separate the individuals. And so I went through different kinds of music making, at least my concepts of music making, that are the basis of many of my pieces, where they would, the mission was to, as with as much intent as possible, make a whole and still retain their individual identity.
16 players.
Well, that was really great, you know, because some people just, there were a couple people who never got it, and so they were always sort of floating over it, and the concepts had to be strong enough to endure people who didn't get it, because I didn't want to say, well, just don't play. I would just simply say, well, you know, yeah, well, that's okay, you play that. And then to people who understood more deeply what I wanted, we could work farther and farther into the result of the piece.
We're only going to hear an excerpt, because this is an hour's worth.
Yeah, this was a concert.
Did you give this a name?
The pieces?
Yeah.
Well, we could listen to... You see, I just got the tape yesterday. So I would have to listen to the tape to give you an excerpt.
Well, yesterday is relative time now, because we're in the future.
Right. The names of the pieces were Agenstens, Psalm Suite, Souped, and Bandbound. And perhaps it would be best to play an excerpt of Agenstens, which is built on relatively the same ideas as Never Again. And then we could go on to a small excerpt from Bandbound, which is based on some of the ideas of suboption.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Agenstens and Bandbound from a group that includes... also, Sun Suite, which I think we heard a little bit in a concert last week as well, and Souped. Here's music by Anne LaBerge. Thank you.
Thank you.
Silly person. We're listening to excerpts from Against Us and Bandbound by Anne LaBerge, and in the meantime, we've been asking about life, the universe, and a few other things. Where you're going to give concerts and what you think about political climate and everything else. What's going on? What's coming up? What's next? And what were you asking?
I was asking about wooden shoes.
Wooden shoes. What's
there's that this Dutch. A concept that I've never been able to get past, but if you would play in the States, do you have particular venues? I mean, would you do improvisation, or would you play with, say, would you sit in with Jean-Pierre Rampal, or how would you do concerts?
I play quite a bit in the universities as a guest concert artist, and then I'm invited regularly by flutes associations to give a day of master classes and talk to composers and then play a concert. And that's usually how I tour in the United States.
How long have you been doing that? Ever since you got situated here? Or did it take a while?
No, I was doing that since 1983. And I actually was doing that when I lived in the States. Touring solo concerts and playing in festivals and generally being part of the new music community.
So as the other fellow said, where do you go from here now? Or what do you envision in the next, say, 6 or 8 weeks?
Oh, 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, let's not get too far.
Okay. You mean what's going on in my life now?
You want a car. You want a big car.
No, we don't want a car at all. We are so glad to not have that car. Except when we go on vacation.
Well, we can help you get the non-car. You know, your CD Blow is available, and we'll let everybody know how to get that at the end of the show.
Oh, great. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
The near future is that I'm rehearsing very intensely right now with a dancer to try, we call our project On the Fence, to try and build a musical dancer and a moving musician performance, which will include technology and other more complicated embellishments in a performance. But it's very interesting and very nice for me to work with him right now to build this concert, which will be actually next February. And I'm working with two groups who do structured improvisation and are also playing Christian Wolf and Cornelius Cardew. Christian Wolf being an American composer and Cornelius a deceased English composer, which used a lot of improvisation in their works. And I'll be at Dartmouth performing in a few weeks and then going to Princeton for a residency, playing works of my own and some works of American and English composers.
You'll be in Princeton at the same time a compatriot here in Holland is, Louis
right.
Anderson is
right.
in Princeton. So.
Yeah. And I'm right now very, very deeply involved in the stages of development of this quarter tone flute because I've been asked to be one of the presenters of the flute. And the flute is right now in production, but I am playing on a prototype number two.
It's like beta testing or alpha
testing?
Yeah,
it's like beta testing, except I don't think it falls apart.
Well, I think that this is like testing Cheerios. And there's some things about it that are handy, and there's some things about it that make my left arm a little sore.
Can you eat it with milk, though?
Right. Well, you know, you can pour some milk through it. But so I've now, you know, published an article that's been in five different languages about the flute, and I am commissioning composers for a flute and percussion duo and a flute and accordion duo to try and bring out as many qualities of this new
quarter tone accordion too.
Well, no, and the quarter, it's not necessarily quarter tone. It means you can play microtonal music with that much more acoustic flexibility.
Okay. Yeah.
No, the accordion.
It could be interesting if you had two accordions, one tuned a quarter tone away from the other.
I think the accordion will be tuned.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
There's one piece already that gives the accordion some unusual things to do.
This is a relative question. It's not the question you thought.
Oh, I'll just sit over
when
here.
It's very cold in Amsterdam and. It I get, as you said off mic, it does happen occasionally in the canals freeze. And someone were to have an ice sculpture competition, and someone, this is all hypothetical, but I'm sure it could happen. Someone were to create an ice flute. How many notes could you play before the pitch would drop?
I think your tongue might get stuck to the flute.
So you probably couldn't play any notes.
I thought that only happened to pump handles. That was the only place your tongue ever got stuck was.
I've
pump
never seen.
Or swing chains.
Swing chains, right?
These are both ice sculptures you're talking about.
The swing chains. No, that's an improvisation.
Of
it's
course,
a jazz improvisation. The swing
chains. Changes.
We have one more piece, and this is six os. What do you mean by six os?
Well, sauce is quite obvious that you put a lot of stuff in sauce.
Yeah.
And again, you never know if the parts will make a whole or not.
Okay.
I don't mean an H-O-L-E. I mean a W-H-O-L-E. And sick, that's the...
Yeah, it's the S-I-C as in
a
it
sort
mean,
of
you really mean it?
Yeah, that's a literary written...
Thing is the correct word.
Editorial commentary
says
that you mean it.
The sauce is actually what you meant. This is written using the computer program HMSL, developed by Larry Polansky, Phil Burke, and David Rosenboom, who were all at Mills at the same time, Mills College
Mills
in California.
College, yeah.
And I was... During the development of HMSL in the early 80s, I was used as the performing guinea pig for a lot of the projects where I'd go up and they'd turn the program on and I'd play things, or they'd have me play things, or they'd write pieces, and I would we would see how the computer program would react. So I decided that I should also involve myself in writing a program and a piece using the program. It's a very, very elementary programming that I used, but the intention of the piece was to, there's a word in Dutch called uitdragen, and that means dragen is when you wear your clothes, and when you want to bring something out, you draag it out. So it's as if you wear it, that you wear your clothes, and it comes out.
That was a Bach cantata, wasn't it?
I would say at least 10 times in this interview I wanted to say that I would bring it out, but you actually don't say that in English, and I've been fighting for the word that would do that. But this piece manifests, or it uses the idea of counterpoint in quite a few ways. Counterpoint in the sense that the acoustic world of the flute that we've been talking about throughout the interview is very rich and very funny, and flute music can be very melodic and also very dramatic and also very stupid. So the flute just gets to do all these things. And computers, essentially, are slightly dumb. And we're working very hard as the human race to build these computers that we think might be smarter than we are, but that's a lot of work. And so that was one thing I wanted to just exist in the piece. The other is that I use a synthesizer. The computer drives a synthesizer, and the synthesizer is not one of the most expensive, complex, pleasurable sound worlds available. I chose a synthesizer that had, and I chose the sounds that I would call simply sort of cheap sounds.
That's what we've been missing on this program, has been cheapness, yes.
Cheap sounds, well this piece will give it to you. And and the material that the computer plays has a large degree of improvisation, because when I play, I cue the computer, and the computer is given options as to what it will do. So every time I play this piece, I'm not sure what the computer will do. And for the recording for the CD, I just sort of said, that's what the computer did this time, and that's what the synthesizer chose to allow the computer to do this time, so that was the piece. That was this version of the piece.
So this is just one of the endless number of possibilities for
exactly.
This piece.
Yeah.
Anne LaBerge, thank you very much for joining us on the Calvos and Damian New Music Sesquihour.
Thank you.
Six Sauce by Anne LaBerge.
Thank you. Sick Sauce by Anne LaBerge. What did she call that?
A regular lap riot.
Yeah, lap riot. Not eggs. She called it outraja. I think maybe that translates more as outdragging.
Right. Far outdragging.
Music by Anne LaBerge. Are we permitted on-air judgments?
I guess during this section of the show, yes, we are. We have turned the clock to Judgment Hour.
Judgment Hour. I don't think that was a very handsome tune.
It was back in 1970, or it would have been for a short spell.
Flew perfectly, except it has been written in 1990. So, well, anyway.
A little behind the times.
Yeah, these things happen.
But a lovely recording.
Yes, a lovely recording. You can get that recording, as a matter of fact. It is called Blow, and on it are Never Again, Roll In, Sick Sauce, Indeed, Unengraced, and Revamper, all in lowercase. That's available from Frog Peak Music, just down the road in New Hampshire.
Or you can come down the road to the Sesqua Studio and pick one up right here.
No, I'm not giving this one away.
You don't have to give it away.
Only one.
I didn't mean to say pick it up, I meant... put down your plastic and take one home with you.
I suppose, yes. The you can find out all about this on our website. Just look for Calvo. So you can actually look up Anne LaBerge. That's LaBerge. And it'll lead you to our website as well. And you can find out where to get Blow from Frog Peak Music. If you've got the pen or pencil handy and want to write down their phone number, it's 603-448-8837. That's Frog Peak Music for Anne LaBerge's CD, Blow.
Those seven numerals spell something mnemonically.
Yes, they spell mnemonically.
They do.
603-448-8837.
Hey, are you in the mood for more flute music?
Yeah. Shall we use that as an introduction to next week's show, conveniently?
Yes. By yes.
Next week's guest will be Mary Oliver, who will give
us... Oh, King Oliver. Yeah, Queen Oliver.
Queen Oliver.
Right, go ahead.
she'll give us the other side of the avant-garde spectrum, because she is not a composer, she's a performer, and she's going to tell us in our live interview in our rental car on the way back from her concert.
In Delft, wasn't
in
it?
In Delft, where the blue tiles were made. She will tell us all about how the music they play is not regressive.
Well, we'll have something to say about that.
Yes.
Again, it'll have to occur after 20 past the hour, which is then judgment hour.
True enough. Oh, okay, so we'll keep that quiet then until after.
But meanwhile.
Meanwhile, we'll play from the Von Bommel Ensemble, which.
Translate Von Bommel for our audience.
Bummed out ensemble. I don't think it means anything. It's the name of the guy.
Yeah, but his name in...
Frank Von Bommel.
In any other language
is
does mean something.
From the bummer.
That's right.
This is Carl Berkman, Elise Lorraine, Phil Minton, Anne LaBerge, and Mary Oliver are in this group. And we'll hear the most of the concert next week, along with our interview with Mary Oliver. But now, Anne LaBerge talked about Sand Suite briefly, and we as one of the improvs that she composed.
Yes.
For all them flutists that we heard many many of in
exactly.
the excerpts. And so this is the Von Bommel.
Funny how a mass of flutes sometimes takes on the characteristics of other instruments. But
yeah,
that's just
especially
the
in those high registers.
Right.
They do that. This is Sand Suite as performed by the Von Bommel Ensemble in a live concert. Actually, not the one we heard, but the next day in Amsterdam, not the concert in Delft. So here it is, a live concert of the Von Bommel Ensemble performing Anne LaBerge composition Sand Suite.
So I count on you.
Thank you.
Well, if you like that, you can hear lots more next week. That's the Van Bommel Ensemble from Amsterdam performing Anne LaBerge's piece Sand Suite. You could hear all that Stephen Sondheim tunes in there, could you?
I not only could, but I've started to not hum them.
Yes, you were not humming along.
I understand, though, that since they did that performance, they're now performing at weddings and bar mitzvahs and birthday parties and openings of small businesses and
yes.
And restaurants. They have, I think there's a happy hour.
They're here. They're going to open our little cafe as part of the...
Oh, grand.
Yes, the Cabos and Damien Café de Nuit Vert Jaune.
Yeah, bon. Bon. Very bon.
Yes. Let's keep the flute theme going just a little bit longer. If you
great
can.
Of that.
Yeah, I know, but...
there are fluters out there who
yes,
appreciate this.
Who enthusiastically phone called us last week and haven't yet this week. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So 454-7762 for your comments while we turn here on the Calvos and Damien New Music Sesquiara on WGDR Plainfield to the music of Eric David Chazaloff and Over the Edge for flute and electronic sound. Again? Yes, another one of those. Flute and electronic sounds. Oh, please, oh, please. Yes, it's coming. Get ready.
Go ahead. I'm eager for this.
Here it comes. Eric David Chazaloff, Over the Edge. Music from the
Hearts of Space.
From the Seamus organization, the Society for Electroacoustic Music in the United States. That's Eric David Chazalov's Over the Edge. That's from Music from Seamus, Volume 4. Believe it or not, they got that far.
Hot
and
stuff.
Nobody stopped them.
That's right. They have funding. They have underwriting, not like us.
They have dues.
And don'ts. And this is one of the... No, this is, was obviously a do. They did it.
They did it, yes. And on this album are also pieces by Dan Weymouth, who will be a guest sometime this fall, live in the studio, not compressed to the dimensions of a strip of tape. And Judy Klein, and who else here? John Nelson on that album.
So you don't want to play this Hiawatha?
Nah, you know, I think we're out of flute now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We'll play one piece by Anne LaBerge we haven't played that did not come up as part of the interview.
Right now?
No, at the end of the show. And but for the moment, we didn't do Dada Day yet.
Oh, right.
And of course, I had serious Dadaistic neuron misfire at the beginning of the show when I mentioned that which Marcel Duchamp piece this was. This is the, I won't even say what I said. Instead, this is... The Bride Stripped Bare by Her Bachelors Even, Erratum Musical by Marcel Duchamp.
This was a bad translation from the French, I think.
Yes, which should have said Vert Jaune.
Oh, Vert Jaune, oui.
Anyway, this is a realization of this score created in 1913 by Marcel Duchamp. Donald Knack, K-N-A-A-C-K, percussionist, realizing the first recording ever of the Erratum Musical by Duchamp. Here it is on a wonderful crickly little LP from Finadar. David Knack playing The Bride Stripped Bare by Her Bachelors Even, Erratum Musical by Marcel Duchamp. Thank you.
real gardening music.
Yeah, I was thinking that's real gardening music, boy. It's a nice sunny day out there. Everybody's sweating.
And not us. Well, we're not cool. Us. The music we play is so cool, too.
It's too cool today. This is that, you know, I think our flute segment kind of slowed us down a little bit.
What makes you say that? Just because we've devolved into the 1950s?
I don't know, because the phone used to ring off the hook at 454-7762.
That's when we were giving away premiums.
Well, we'll still give us a call. We'll give you a premium.
We used to have we used to have quizzes. We used to have best of sesks. Of course, there is a technical problem still with that.
Ah, yes, true enough.
And we will. We will again.
Have another best of sex.
And
have
ask,
several.
Ask Aggies.
Oh, we haven't had any Ask Aggies. Okay. Well, we're going to crank it back up again next week because we'll have our insulting interview with Mary Oliver.
Yes.
More of the Van Bommel Ensemble. And we'll
that'll certainly perk things up.
We'll add lots of loud music next week.
Good.
Yeah.
A loud week.
And let's just before the... we'll have two more pieces on the program, but let's do... one loud tune. This is Bonko Bonzo. We played this one before. This is the thump to humans multiple pianos. Thump piano duo. And we had on the show, we had Drew Krause, who's in this ensemble. And he played Eric Lyons. He and Paul Marquardt. Marquardt. I like that. Marquardt. Marquardt.
A nice loud name.
Marquardt. 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 Nice loud name. Playing Eric Lyons' Bonko Bonzo. We'll be back before the end of the show and call us at 454-7762. See if we've managed to put you back to sleep or awakened you or something in the past couple of weeks, because it's been real quiet out there and we're not asking for your money anymore.
Although we could.
Well, we could. Bonko Bonzo, Eric Lyons. I guess we just can't get away from subtlety today. Even
that Nadia Boulanger technique just comes right through.
Comes just slamming through. That's a piece called Banco Bonzo by Eric Lyon. It had some good banco parts in it.
Sure.
But then it just got subtle.
Right. Very subtle.
That's the Calvus and Damien New Music Show today. We're going to get you out of here with one more piece. The Heavy Stools are here, and they're going to follow us up. Don't forget to write, Box 336 Plainfield.
Write, call, fax, send a messenger.
Send email. And we're going to wrap it up with a piece by Jaron Lanier. This is a duo for violin and Ka'al, which is a Southeast Asian bamboo mouth organ. And this is his fourth duo for violin and Ka'al called Music is Sex with God.
Yeah, rah, rah.
Rah, rah. Here it is, music by Jaron Lanier.
A production of multimedia.